want to thank Ken and the Mullins for sharing today. And as I mentioned, at the close of the service, we're going to have prayer for Jess Mingle from India and for the Mullins as well. So what that means is you're not supposed to leave. Right? Everybody stays here. Bob, lock the doors. As one person I remember when I was growing up said, they said, lock the doors and you people are going to be blessed whether you like it or not. That may be the approach we're taking today. So we're going to be looking just for a few minutes today at the book of Acts. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. I've told you before that as somebody who loves and appreciates philosophy, that if I was not called into ministry, I most likely would have ended up being a philosophy teacher of some sort, a philosophy professor, because I have no problem asking questions and asking and asking and asking. My wife will tell you that I have a tendency to ask questions I already know the answer to. I just ask it in a different way, and basically the response is there's really no other way I could say it. I've already given you the answer. Why are you asking me again? Kind of a response. But there's one particular question that I'm beginning to realize, and I'm pretty sure it is the most popular question in the world. And I am pretty sure that it's something, it's a universal question. It encompasses all languages, and I'm sure that everybody has used it at least once in their life. It's the one question that when kids learn this question, they begin to, I don't know if we can say this or not about kids, but they begin to annoy you. They begin to frustrate you. They begin to irritate you. And this question, of course, as you probably have already guessed, it's a three-letter question, and it begins with W. Everybody say it together. Why? Now, there's something about it, though. When a child is asking you, at first it might be cute. Oh, they learned why. Isn't that funny? Ha ha. They said why. But then when it gets to the, but why? It's not a good question then, is it? You really don't want to hear that question. And the one thing that I heard quite a bit from my parents, if I ever threw that, why? It was always, because I said so. In other words, we're not giving you another answer. We're not answering the question, why? But why is a very interesting question. I have learned, and I'm not saying to try this, especially I wouldn't try this with your spouse, although I have, but I have learned that it can actually be interjected into any conversation. At any time you don't know what to say, just say this question. It can continue. It doesn't matter what. You can respond to anything. Boy, isn't the weather nice? Why? Why were you there? Why? Where'd you go? Why? See, you can say why to anything and just keep it going. And the good news is that what that does is you can have a perpetual, eternal conversation because you just continue to say why. But you're also annoying the other person who's going to get very frustrated because they get tired of hearing it over and over because they know you're just playing a game with them and you're not really trying to do anything productive, but you're just simply saying why over and over. So any hands of anybody that wants to try that with somebody today? Just have a conversation, okay? Everybody down front related to me wants to, yeah. So just have a conversation with somebody and just commit that you're only going to say the word why and nothing else, regardless of what they say. You'll be amazed at how it happens. Now, what's so important about the word why in Scripture especially is that if we read through Scripture from beginning to end, and I don't care if you're a child, I don't care if you're a teenager, I don't care if you're an adult, I don't care if you're a scholar, you're going to run into that question. Right? You're going to run into that, not just once. It's going to happen a lot. Let's just start with the whole idea of the fall of man, right? Eve. Why did you take the fruit, right? Why? Think about what would be different if she wouldn't have taken the fruit. The whole idea of Moses. Why? God told you what to do, but for some reason, you had to do it your way. Why? Right? We ask those questions often throughout Scripture. We run into why? 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 Then we get into the New Testament and we get into the story of Christ and we begin to ask questions of why, and we see Jesus on the cross and we see him dying, and why? Then we move into the story of the Apostle Paul. In this passage, he's called Saul because this is before he officially had his name changed to Paul. And this is after his conversion experience. He had this amazing conversion experience. And if you go through the life of Paul from this point forward, after he's converted and after he begins preaching in the name of Jesus, talk about a life that would have every right to say, why? God wants me to preach his gospel, so I'm going to go and preach his gospel. Okay, I'm preaching the gospel. What's happening? Everybody's mad at me. I'm preaching the gospel. Nobody's supporting me. Everybody's against me. Okay, I'm going to go the direction God wants me to go. I'm answering your call, God. Shipwreck. There we go. I'm answering your call, God. I'm going to preach your gospel. Now I'm stoned. And I get stoned. And they're throwing at me. Then they drag me out of the city. Then they throw me in prison. Then they beat me with rods. And then they put me in the stocks. And anybody here, if you were in his position, would you ever say why? I mean, think about the last time you questioned God about something in your life. You know, come on. I mean, even if you didn't verbalize it, maybe thought crossed. I mean, even if you changed the thought, at some point you probably were like, God, why? Now, I don't know for sure, but I would venture to say that none of us had experienced the magnitude of what the Apostle Paul experienced to the point where we would say, why? But the amazing thing is, he never did. Now, we can also shift that why question. And if Paul was here today giving his testimony, and if he was explaining everything that took place, and if somebody would raise the question, hey, Paul, did you ever leave the faith? No. Did you, after all this happened, did you ever stop preaching the gospel? No. Somebody somewhere is going to ask the question, why? Because how many of us, if we're honest, how many of us would have? How many of us would have said, you know what? That's not for me. I didn't sign up for this. But yet, there's something that's happening that is so powerful that this passage exposes us to. So if we go back one slide, we go through this again, and look at what happens. Saul, he spends several days with the disciples in Damascus. Verse 20, at once, this is immediately in the Greek text, at once, immediately, not batting an eye, not waiting, immediately, what is he doing? He is preaching in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what was the idea of preaching in the synagogues? Who were in the synagogues? Anybody? The Jews, right? And who were the Jews at the time, and what did they believe about Jesus? They really didn't believe he was the Son of God. They really didn't believe he was the Messiah. In fact, Saul's coming in and he's preaching to them that Jesus is the Messiah. Immediately, he goes to them. Just imagine if somebody would have given you this assignment. Hey, got a great opportunity for you. There's a group of people over here I want you to go share the gospel with, that Jesus is the Messiah. Let me just explain a little bit of the background. They're not going to accept you. They're going to be against you because they are convinced that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, and they're probably going to chase you out and kick you out. Are you interested? Are you going to sign up? But it didn't. Immediately, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Next slide. All those who heard him, those Jews in the synagogues, all those who heard him, they were astonished. What does that mean? In modern day, it would be something like sitting in the congregation, sitting back, they introduce the preacher, and you sit there and go, you gotta be kidding me. They were astonished. Why were they astonished? They asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Isn't this the guy who just not long ago was killing Christians? And now he's coming to us and telling us that we shouldn't do it and that somehow that we're wrong? Ha! I don't want to listen to him. See, nobody wanted to listen to this. They weren't interested in what he had to say. They're astonished and they're saying, isn't this the man? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? But look at verse 22. Yet what happens? See, as most of us, and I'm telling all myself here, we would at least consider just running. And we would at least consider looking for another opportunity or sending out resumes, whatever it may be. We would at least consider it. But what does he do? He grows more and more powerful. And he baffles the Jews living in Damascus by what's that? That's tough language that Luke's using here when he's writing the book of Acts, isn't it? By proving that Jesus is the Messiah. See, he didn't baffle the Jews just by raising arguments. He didn't baffle the Jews by making a claim. He didn't even baffle the Jews by talking about his own conversion experience. He baffled them because he proved to them that Jesus was the Messiah. That's amazing. I don't know about you, but I don't see that reflected much when we talk about Paul going in and preaching in the synagogue. That was their issue. Their issue wasn't his past. Their issue was the fact he proved that they were wrong and they refused to accept it. And that's why he baffled them because of that. So what does this have to do with us? Well, as we follow Jesus, I'm sure we want to ask that why question. Right? Sometimes you want to say, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you permit this? Especially when we're obedient to what he calls us to do. And yet, this is what takes place. We want to say, why? I remember my first trip over to Eswatini, Swaziland. And it's not like I haven't traveled before, and it's not like I haven't been in other countries before. I had been because I traveled as an evangelist and flew around a lot. But this trip, oh my goodness, there's something different about this trip. This was just a little different from going to Mexico or going to Canada or even the Ukraine. I mean, it was just a little different than just flying out to California and coming back. Because, you know, you get on the plane and when are we going to get there? And what would you guys say average time travel-wise is? All travel time included, layovers and everything. If you're going to tell somebody to join us, come with us to Eswatini, how long does it take from here to there? 21 to 24 hours. Not that I was counting, but I'm pretty sure we maxed out that 24 when we did it. So yeah, it's a long time. And you know what it's like to be in a plane, right? And you usually have to walk through the rich people's place before you get back to your place, right? Oh, wow, this is how they live. Oh, look at this. And all of a sudden you pull the curtain back and here you go, you got this much room You know, when I was a kid growing up and seeing those commercials about reclining seats from airplanes, and they look so comfortable, they just recline back. And I pressed the button and I wanted to tell them something was wrong. It didn't recline. No, it did. It reclined. Really?
I didn't feel anything.
Goes about this. In fact, just recently I saw something posted. I saw a couple things posted about people having bad experiences on flights, which is not the best thing to do when we're trying to encourage you to be involved in missions. But they were talking about bad experiences on flights, and basically it was a what would you do thing. What would you do? And one of them, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'll tell you. You probably saw it too. One of them, a guy sitting in his seat, and the guy behind him wants to relax. Not one, both feet on his armrest. And the question at the bottom of the picture is, what would you do? Another one, somebody with extremely long hair. I guess they were getting warm on the flight, so they pulled all the hair up and wrapped it right behind their seat so it laid right down on the person's tray. What would you do? Now, if you were in those experiences, if that situation, you probably would have been asking why as well, right? But I remember when we finally land in Swaziland, we land in Eswatini, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I could use rest, I could use a shower, I could use a lot of things right now. Then they say, well, we want to take you over to the baby home on your way so you can see them because it's right on the way. And I remember a couple of the adults said to me, mumbled to me, and I mumbled back that, well, I'm kind of fading, but we can do the best we can. And so we're standing there trying to stay awake the whole time as they're explaining to us what we're supposed to remember. And then you get there, and what's amazing is the why question is answered. On the journey, you're going to wonder. And on the journey, you're going to say, why am I doing this again? 24 hours is a long time to travel. Making sure you hit the right connection, don't lose the passport, everything else, all the stuff you're dealing with. And you get there, and then you start to worship with them, and you realize they worship differently than you do, and you realize they have a passion for worship that we could use. And then you begin talking to Pastor Baggy, and you talk, and you find out all the churches that are planting and how many people are getting saved. And then you're preaching as a pastor, they have me preach. And then at the end, people come up and they're actually being converted and being saved. And then there's these little kids at the care point that they just think you're God. They do everything they can to get over to you, to shake your hand, to talk to you, and just say, how old are you? Everything. You're making their world when you're there. And the worst moment for me, both times that I've been there, the worst moment for me is when we leave the care point the one last time and you have to look out the back window and you see all the kids standing there watching and they don't want you to go. And what I mean by that is that the why question is answered. Why would you go through this, Paul? Why would you go through this travel experience to get over there and go through this? Well, the why question is answered the same way. Why would you stay in ministry if it becomes difficult? Why would you continue to serve God when there's persecution? Why would you continue to do this? The answer is simple. It's the gospel. There's no other reason. None. Because believe me, if you take the gospel out, Saul's done. He's not interested. He doesn't care. But because of the gospel, he didn't care. Drag him out of the city. He doesn't care. Stone him. He doesn't care. Imprison him. He doesn't care. Beat him. He doesn't care. You guys getting this yet? I mean, that was the problem with them. They never got it. What are they doing now? Paul and Silas are in jail, and everything's going horrible. What's happening? Is he giving up yet? No, he's actually singing praises to God because of the gospel. And that's why we have the display in the foyer. That's why we are asking you to have communication and relationships with these children is for the gospel. That's one thing that kind of separates this, and there's other organizations that are similar, but one thing that separates this from the mainstream secular side of it, which I'm not against, but they just pretty much look at just the needs, just the physical needs. You're just paying the needs, and that's it. You know, we're just taking care of them so they have enough food and all this. This does that, but it also adds the gospel. And it also adds you building a relationship with them so you can actually be part of them being discipled, which is what this is all about. The gospel. I want you to think today, everybody here who professes to be a follower of Jesus, I want you to think today about who was it? Who was it that brought you to know who Jesus was? Some of you might be thinking of one person, and you might have locked into that one person right now and said, it was this person on this date at that time. I will never forget it. Some of you are thinking, well, it was so-and-so, and it was so-and-so. God used several people to bring me to that. Whatever it might be, where would you be right now if any of them would have asked the question why enough to the point that they would have given up and said, I'm not doing this anymore, Jesus. This is too hard. I'm done. Where would you be? You see how much difference that makes when, and that's the whole thing about following Jesus, isn't just for us. Following Jesus is for us to like experience Jesus and to share him with somebody else. In fact, it's impossible to follow this Jesus that we're talking about and not have a desire to share him with somebody else. You can't do it. It's not possible because he's not gonna let it happen. Eventually he's gonna say, you know what? You should be telling somebody about me. Because that's just how Jesus works. But it goes along with that whole idea that that's what this is all about. That's why we have a church. That's what the purpose is. If there's no gospel, burn the place down. We don't need it. I mean, hey, keep your money. If it's not for the gospel, we don't want your money. I mean, it's all about the gospel. That's what this whole thing's about. And the passion that Saul becoming Paul had, is the same passion that all of us are called to have so that others will know who Jesus is. And the one thing that we always need to keep in mind, and what I shared about the flight, that isn't anything compared to the persecution that many people face. But one thing we must keep in mind is that when we follow Jesus, there is going to be sacrifice. And it might be money, it might be whatever, but there is. You cannot follow Jesus without sacrifice. He says to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. So everything we're talking about today on this Mission Sunday is simply Jesus and the gospel. So what we're going to do is, I want to ask first of all, Jess Mingle, if you would come down, please. Jess, she was supposed to travel out yesterday, but because of some situations, she's going to be going back to India here this evening. So we have an opportunity to pray for her. And I don't know, maybe that was just the answer to prayer of why the delay happened, was because we wanted to pray for you. We are excited about what God has in store for you. And you did share with us a little bit ago, but just real quick, if you could just remind us, how many years have you been over there now? At least 10 years over in India. So we want to continue to pray for her ministry over there. And I can tell you, in India, I'm sure, am I right to say that there's been times you've thought about asking the question why? Yeah, okay, that's what I figured. And Greg and Michelle, if you would come up as well, please. Greg and Michelle Mullins, who are working for AIM, and you were involved in missions in Eswatini, Swaziland. And if I could just be so bold, is it okay to say that at times that why question may have crossed your mind? Yeah, and maybe still does at times, yeah, right. So what we want to do is we want to gather around all three of these today. So if you guys could just come up here, center, and we're going to just gather around all three of them today, and we're going to pray for them, and we're just going to pray that the gospel is going to be the main focus of what they do, regardless of what they face, regardless of the trials or sacrifice. We're just going to pray that that'll be at the forefront of everything they do. And everybody who would like to, if you would just come forward now and just gather around them as we pray here today. Lord Jesus, we've been deceived at times in thinking that following you is easy. It is to a certain degree, but we cannot push aside the fact that sometimes it's just flat out hard. Sometimes it's hard when we're in the middle of a ministry that we know you've called us to do and we're not seeing the results that we thought we would see. Many times we may want to give up, and many times we want to be just like Moses and say, God, why did you send me here? But Lord, we pray for these that are involved in missions that are represented here. We pray that you would surround them with your presence, surround them with your love, and may they always remember why they're doing what they're doing. It's all about the mission, and it's all about the gospel. And on those times where they wonder, should I continue or is there even a purpose, I pray you would draw close to them and remind them of that truth. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.